Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Chris, me and you earlier today were actually talking about something that, obviously we're about to start talking about right now. Specifically, the reason this is even in the news at the moment is because Puerto Rico, a little over a week ago, was absolutely devastated by Hurricane Maria. And when I say absolutely devastated, I don't just mean a few buildings got knocked over. Basically, the entire island is out of power. The airport is only functional during daylight hours because there's no power. They're running out of fuel. They're running out of supplies. They're running out of food. And there are about 3.5 million people that live in Puerto Rico that they need help. They really do need help. And there are businesses that are not American businesses that want to help. But unfortunately, there's a law that's been on the books for about 100 years that has hindered that help from arriving. That law being the Jones Act. If it's a Chinese ship that has just dropped a load of stuff in San Francisco,
right,
and they're going back to China,
this sounds really efficient.
They can't stop in Hawaii.
But I'm going from San Francisco to China. I'm going right by Hawaii. Why can't I take some goods and drop them off in Hawaii?
Because protectionism.
Because of the Jones Act. So that eliminates that, and it's a horrible protectionist scheme. By protectionist, we mean that a certain industry has certain laws that have been passed that benefit it. And we complain, you know, Trump's talking about throwing big tariffs on Bombardier jets, which is out of Canada. Trump has hit the timber industry in Canada with massive tariffs, you know, because, you know, God forbid they're doing some protectionist stuff up there to protect their own industries or helping subsidize them. We do the same thing.
I guess I never really realized there was all this going on in the waters there with all these ships. Right.
It's a crazy one, isn't it?
I did fact check that for you about the Disney cruises.
Yeah.
And it actually says, however, it is surprising that under the flags of convenience, Disney have registered their vessels in the Bahamas. And the minute each passenger steps onto the ship, they are automatically outside the jurisdiction of the United States and at the mercy of the cruise lines.
Interesting.
Yep. Sounds about accurate. Let's just say Norwegian Cruise Line said, you know what? We're going to cancel one of our 3-day cruises, load the boat up with food, clothing, water, diesel, because, again, people running out of diesel for their generators. Just load our boat up with all the supplies that you can put on this thing to where it's not going to sink, and we're going straight to San Juan. U.S. federal law says can't do that unless you stop at a foreign port first, because Norwegian, you don't have an American flag on all of your paperwork there. Only American flagged vessels can sail directly between U.S. ports. Luckily, and, you know, on the one hand, you know, luckily it's been waived temporarily. Unfortunately, it's not a permanent waiver or repeal of the law.
Right.
But it has been waived.
Yeah.
Temporarily for this specific situation.
Right. And when it's been waived in the past, it has been waived before.
That's good.
It is in response to some sort of disaster, some emergency. So the government will go, you know what? We're such a big, nice, warm, fuzzy, loving government, will waive the Jones Act for this period
of time. Have you guys like read about how the Puerto Rican government is like receiving those goods and like what they're going to do with them? You know what I mean?
I haven't.
I don't know how they are planning on, you know, like centrally distributing stuff, if that's the question. But the governor of Puerto Rico has requested that the Jones Act be waived just to allow the goods to even get into Puerto Rico.
Earlier Thursday, Puerto Rican Governor Ricardo Rosello said he had asked the White House to loosen the regulations. Excuse me? Hold on. Did I just read what I think I said? He said the waiver was approved after it was determined that doing so was in the interest of national defense.
What?
Anybody want to take a swing at that?
I'm baffled, and I'm reading here because I did skip down a little bit. Apparently, the Jones Act was also waived to wind up helping Texans and Floridians after being hit by Hurricane Harvey and Irma.
Right.
Guarantee you that Houstonians didn't have to wait 10 days for the Jones Act to be temporarily lifted.
Right. So basically, Homeland Security has come forward and said, well, we think it's in our national defense interest to lift this. What a crock.
Right.
And the only interest you need is that people are dying.
Right.
That should be the extent of the conversation. Why are we doing this? Because we have a law that is, in essence, killing people.
And this proves that, or rather gives more evidence that the people of Puerto Rico are second-class U.S. citizens.
Sure.
It really does. Because
I mean, do we know, though, for sure how long it took to approve that waiver for the other two places? I mean,
I don't. I'd like to find that out.
I don't, but the article says quickly and 10 days sure as hell ain't quick.
So people may be wondering, I mean, is this just another case, you know, government bureaucracy, things move slow, 10 days later, somebody in the government finally says, okay, we're going to allow foreign ships to travel between U.S. ports because that's what the Jones Law prohibits. It prohibits a foreign flag ship from traveling from one U.S. port directly to another without hitting another country. But the answer to that question I just asked is, no. This is from a Newsweek story from last week. Trump said he was initially considering whether to implement a temporary waiver of the Jones Act to allow it, meaning traffic to flow from U.S. ports directly to Puerto Rico on foreign flagships, but decided against doing so as, quote, a lot of people that work in the shipping industry don't want the Jones Act lifted, end quote. So what this basically comes down to is your president saying, well, you know, I talked to a lot of people in this protected industry, shipping, U.S. shipping, and they would rather see people die in Puerto Rico, I guess.
But again,
I ask something?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Why was it originally passed? Like, what was the
protectionism
purpose?
This isn't about what makes sense economically. This is about cronyism.
Lifting the sugar tariffs would benefit the American people, but it would not benefit
the American sugar growers.
The very small number of American sugar growers. It would not benefit the producers of corn because, that's subsidized. Grow a lot of corn, turn some of it into high fructose corn syrup, sell that off to Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Dr. Yep. Pepper, and all of the other cola manufacturers.
But basically, when we talk about, you know, the Jones Act and the fact that it's killing people and lack of lifting this ban has undoubtedly caused deaths in Puerto Rico, what we're talking
is lifted it fairly quickly after Harvey and Irma.
Yeah, not my point, though. I understand where you're going with that, and you're absolutely right. But what this really is about is cronyism. And,
yes.
And too many on the left will look at this and go, you know, this is a failure of capitalism. This doesn't work. No, it's not capitalism. It's cronyism. It's people in industry, the oligarchy, the 1%, pulling the strings of politicians to get laws passed that they want to protect their industries. This happens in banking, happens in the pharmaceutical industry, happens in big farming. It happens all over the place, and it also happens in shipping.
Chris, remember a couple of weeks ago, there was that story out of Utah where several weeks after this assault of a nurse happened, the body cam footage came up and showed this nurse being assaulted. But now the police are upset that people saw what they did.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people saw this video. The nurse was being asked repeatedly by a law enforcement officer to allow them to draw blood. I think it was it for a sobriety test or something?
Sobriety test of a victim of a car crash.
Right.
So the police were in a high-speed chase with someone.
Right.
That person swerved into the lane that this guy was driving his big truck in, like, you know, 18-wheeler sort of truck, smashed into that. So this guy not the person being pursued by the cops.
Right.
But the cops wanted to do a sobriety test on him because if there was any substance in his body, they could wind up blaming him for the crash and not themselves for going on this high-speed chase.
Right.
And, well, this woman called up her supervisor and... Hey, supervisor guy, these cops, they want to pull some blood, and I know what the policy is. The policy is that the person either has to be under arrest, they have to have a warrant, or the person has to give consent.
And they could.
This person is unconscious. He cannot consent, and they don't have a warrant, and he's not under arrest. Please advise, Mr. Supervisor. And the supervisor says, well, you know the policy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
A police union complains that public got to see them roughing up Utah nurse. The head of Salt Lake Police Association has watched the country's outrage over the video showing a nurse getting arrested for refusing to draw a man's blood without a warrant and has decided the correct response is to complain that the public got to see what its officers did. Union head Stephen Hartney sent a letter to the city mayor and public and police chief to complain video of the brief arrest of nurse Alex Wubbles has made, quote, pariahs, unquote, of Detective Jeff Payne and his watch commander at the time of the incident, Lieutenant James Tracy. Wubble became an instant celebrity on Labor Day weekend after she released police body camera footage showing Payne very forcefully arresting her at University of Utah Hospital because she refused his demand that she draw blood from an unconscious victim of a nasty high-speed car crash. The patient, William Gray, was not a suspect nor involved in the chase, and Payne didn't have a warrant. Wubbles, surrounded by staff at the hospital, explained that she was not permitted to draw the man's blood. Payne arrested her in what appeared on video to be sheer frustration at having been defied.
It seems like the issue at hand now is whether or not, you know, the footage should have been released as quickly as it was. And it seems like
a month after an incident is not quick.
Right. And Daryl, as you pointed out when we were talking during the pause, was, you know, the police will release incriminating evidence of what they feel is incriminating. Let's talk about the case of Mal Hewer, you know, where what was the gentleman's name who got shot?
Lavoie Finicum
got
Didn't
shot.
Did they live stream that?
It was almost live streamed. It was like within an hour after it was done, they showed video from a drone over the place where they ambushed these guys.
Yep.
And showed a man getting shot. And it was, when the government does this, this is to taint juries.
They basically live streamed the Waco assault.
This is interesting. The letter claims that the city had not followed, quote, an agreed upon and carefully scripted process for investigating the conduct of police officers. At the news conference, Hartney focused on if the city should have released the footage so soon after the state's Government Records Access and Management Act, considering the release, could have interfered with the internal affairs investigation. Well, Wubbles gained that videotape by using, or that recording, using that exact same law. So what? It's okay for her. It's not okay for her to use that, but it's okay for them to use it when it works out for them.
Right, and this is, you know, just another case of, there's one set of rules for them and one set of rules for everybody else.
Right. And from the same story, the city said they had no good reason to not deny the video footage to Wubbles. I don't doubt it.
Now, I wonder if that investigation is still ongoing, because according to my article here, it says that the Salt Lake Police Association president, Stephen Hartney, believes that the footage of the arrest shouldn't have been released until the investigation is complete.
It is kind of interesting. This is more from the reason the two officers weren't even put on administrative leave until after Wubbles went public with the video footage. So in other words, the city had seen this. The police had seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't do anything. They didn't even take these cops off the street until the video was released.
Well, we've got to have a complaint before we can just put somebody on administrative leave.
Yeah. No,
and none
you
of
don't.
The officers are going to file a complaint because that would be crossing the thin blue line and violating the brotherhood.
Exactly. And I am not anti all police. I am anti bad police, and I am also anti police that watch bad police do this stuff and not do anything about it.
Yeah.
Wubbles was police, the video shows
police not doing anything about the bad police.
Right. And while Wubbles was pleased that the Salt Lake City police have been responsive to her claims of abuse, she and other hospital staff were concerned about other law enforcement agencies, including university police. Campus police did absolutely nothing during the arrest, and since then the hospitals implemented new policies to limit police access to parts of the hospital. Public pressure and response is important to holding police officers accountable. They are public servants, and Hartney's responses, like we've seen from other police union leaders, misuse the concept of due process to try to conceal information from the people to whom the police are supposed to answer.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Government itself is an idea, right? It's an idea, like communism, capitalism. These are all ideas. Government is not a tangible thing. You can't destroy government because it's like saying you can destroy an idea. You can't. If people are willing to conform,
if you could, somebody would have done it by
ideas,
now.
Exactly. Mr. Creedy,
so you can't be like, we're going to, you know, fight government. No, that doesn't make any sense. That's like saying, you know, you're going to fight Christmas. Like, good luck.
Try to fight Christmas
you
every year.
You need to hold people accountable for their actions. And this is a perfect example. Hold the police accountable. If the chief of police isn't holding him accountable, hold accountable the person who holds the chief of police accountable.
Exactly.
Like, we have a way that we can go about reform here and making changes if people would just stop thinking standing on a soapbox screaming into a megaphone and protesting in the streets is going to solve anything.
And by the way, don't stop doing that. That's all well and good.
Just don't
put your megaphone down and go throw a rock through a shoe store so you can get a new set of Nikes. That stuff drives me nuts. I mean, but
speaking on about the war on Christmas, when does Starbucks officially launch that this year?
Oh, that's right. That happened last
because,
year.
Oh, when they went
well,
put
it's
Christmas
happened. They've never put Christmas on. They've never said Merry Christmas. They've never said Happy Birthday Jesus on their cups. And the fact that some people are like, well, they're cup around the holidays not sufficiently celebrating the way I think they should celebrate, so therefore war on Christmas. It's utterly ridiculous.
Isn't it a red cup?
Gray 43 served with police in the southeastern Idaho city of Rigby. Chief Sam Tower said he was dedicated to the community of about 4,000 people and plowed snow from a sidewalk last winter so neighborhood kids wouldn't have to walk in the street. Bill was truly the best of mankind, Rigby Police said in a Facebook post. Always willing to help, always willing to go the extra mile. Bill was a big man with a bigger heart. Everything about him was generous and kind. And Tower previously thanked Wubbles for her effort to protect Gary's rights and prevent his blood from being drawn.
And to be clear, what they wanted to do was this man, who sounds like a decent guy, I agree with you there, has burns over almost 50% of his body, which is pretty much fatal.
Right.
And I cannot imagine, I can't even envision that. But she was stopping police officers who were demanding that somebody run over there and start sticking needles in that guy.
Yeah.
Good for her and good for her for, you know, standing up. And I don't doubt that she knew that it was escalating. You can see it in the video, and that she could get in trouble. And she was facing guys that got guns with them.
And she called her supervisor because she knew what the policy was. She just wanted to make sure that the supervisor told the cops what the policy was. And, they didn't want to hear it.
There is just an enormous amount of really damning evidence that this cop, excuse me, that this cop was doing it wrong, really, really wrong.
Right.
And
yep.
Trying to convict him criminally or even civilly is just not going to happen. It's moot to ask the guy in blue standing next to you to snitch on you when the guy who you're asking to snitch, his life may be in my hands today.
Tomorrow, I get that.
It might be reversed.
Yeah, and no, no.
There's no way, but it's not just that. It's that the cop who's accused, he has to work with the district attorney.
Right.
On a day-to-day basis. So they're not going to rock the boat. They can't afford to because they have to work really closely together.
So and we should just accept all this stuff, right? Like, is that what we should do?
What's that?
We should just accept it? Just
I don't have a solution. I'm saying the problem is intractable.
It is. It's systemic. It is systemic. I don't disagree with that.
Cato wound up, well, what's the term used for when you pay somebody to wind up doing a study for you? Commissioned. They commissioned a study.
Contracted.
With YouGov to where they had about 2,300 Americans across the country answer some questions and... Cato released the following article a couple days ago. They said, we're releasing one question from the forthcoming National Cato 2017 Free Speech and Tolerance Survey. Again, 2,300 Americans were surveyed in this Cato Institute study in collaboration with YouGov. The national survey finds that a solid majority of Americans, 61%, oppose firing NFL players who refuse to stand for the national anthem before football games in order to make political statements. These remarks stand in contrast to President Donald Trump's remarks last weekend and his urging of NFL teams to fire players who refuse to stand for the anthem. A little more than a third of Americans, 38%, align with Trump in support of firing these athletes. One thing that is not mentioned here is that prior to, what was it, like 2008, 2009, the NFL players weren't even on the field for the singing of the anthem.
Right. They stayed in the locker room until the anthem had played, if the anthem was played, because it's not played at every game. It wasn't back then. And then they would run out onto the field. It was sort of
and then have the coin toss and then start the game.
Right. But coincidentally, I'm not sure what year it began, but the Department of Defense.
About 2008, 2009, somewhere in that range.
Started paying the NFL and not paying
millions
of dollars. And that money wasn't going to the NFL players directly. It was absolutely going to the NFL owners, who I would think it's safe to say the majority of them are billionaires.
Yes.
To promote patriotic activities during NFL games. And it wasn't just the NFL. It was the NHL. It was the NBA. It was
NASCAR.
NASCAR, baseball.
Dale Earnhardt Jr., and I don't know who his primary sponsor is now, but I do know a couple of years ago, he was the highest paid contractor for the National Guard.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.